Good evening. I am Dorothy Graves, and this is Science Cafe Little Rock. We are here on 89.1 KUAR, the fourth Tuesday of every month from 6:05 to 6:30, to talk about a science topic and give you the chance to call in with your questions. If you want to call us here in the studio tonight, that number is 569-8494, area code 501. 569-8494. And our topic for discussion this evening is crime scene investigations and evidence collection. My guest is Megan Buckert. She is with the Little Rock Police Department. She is a crime scene specialist. Hi, Megan.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So give us an idea of what you do. What does a crime scene specialist do to sort of frame our conversation this evening?
Sure. We respond to different crime scenes and we look for, document, process, collect, and preserve evidence of a crime, to wrap it up, basically.
And it happens just like that, doesn't it?
No. Not at all.
So, like, are there certain steps or certain kind of foundational concepts that you guys operate with when you go out to a crime scene?
So, going back very basically, and what we all learn in school is something called Locard's Exchange Principle, which is like summarized into every contact leaves a trace, which means if a crime happens, the suspect is going to leave something behind and take something with him or her, but it's up to us to find that.
Okay. Our number here in the studio, 569-8494, if you have a question for Megan talking about crime scene investigations and evidence collection. So what do you take with you to a crime scene? What does that look like?
We have a kit. So it is a large toolbox, really, but a lot of us have a cloth bag, and we have lots of things in there. Packaging materials, we'll have our fingerprint kits, which is brushes, powder, different powders, tape to lift them with. We'll have gloves, different personal protective equipment, Tyvek suits, booties, different stuff like that, things to take swabs, and we have that all in a little kit. And then our cars are also stocked with all other things like that, more packaging, our little evidence markers.
So is there a standard amount of time it takes to do an initial assessment of a crime scene? Obviously, you know, some are going to be more complex than others and I guess would take several days. But in terms of that initial assessment,
I don't think so. It's usually not too long. It depends on where you're at. Sometimes we're at just a bedroom and sometimes it's an entire city block. You know, so it depends on how dynamic the scene is, who's there, what's going on. So I can't really say. It's usually not too long for that initial walkthrough to gain our bearings and get observations done.
And it looks like we have a caller on the line, Skip in Little Rock. What is your question for Megan? Thanks for calling in.
I'm glad to be able to call. I have always been interested in insects. And I recall that on CSI, Gil Grissom had special interest in using insect material as part of his investigations. And I think also in Kathy Reich's Bones books, insects play a part. So I wanted to know how much you make use of insects in real-life crime scene investigation.
Sure. Well, it definitely is a possibility. We definitely note them and take pictures of them. And I actually just took this year a recovery of human remains class where we went out to the Air Force Base and they had buried a mock body and we dug it up. But they also put pig remains down to kind of get those bugs that you might get. And they can help you. Most commonly what they'll help you do is get aging of the body. They will help you get time of death, narrow the range down. As far as how often we use that, to be honest, is not very often. We don't, at least in Little Rock. The thing is that you need to send those off to an expert. It's not just going to the lab, and you would have to pay those fees and get those properly packaged and shipped and all that. And when something is that important, it does not come up that often.
Thanks for your question, Skip. If you have a question for Megan, we're talking about crime scene investigations and evidence collection. Megan is a crime scene specialist with the Little Rock Police Department. Our number here in the studio, 569-8494. That's area code 501-569-8494. So you mentioned the lab. Mm-hmm. That would be the state crime lab.
Correct.
That you guys use. What all does the state crime lab do?
You might have to ask more of them completely, but they definitely have a biology and DNA section. They have, and they some of them might also do trace analysis. They have firearms. They'll have a chemistry section. They have the ME's office. And as far as more, I'm not.
It's medical examiner office.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. So that's where the autopsies and everything are performed?
Right.
Okay. So I think this might actually be a good place to transition into that conversation mm-hmm. that Skip sort of introduced for us, though Skip had a really good question. What is the difference between what we see on TV and what is real life? Because I think, you know, we're at least two decades into seeing lots of CSI crime dramas. What are the common, you know, misunderstandings that you mm-hmm. run across?
The biggest one, I think, is the timing that it takes to do something. So they obviously solve most things in 60 minutes or less. It really doesn't, it takes much longer than that. So it's going to be taking more than that, even just to process the scene usually. And then as far as sending the evidence away, getting our results back. Another big misconception is that one person on TV does a whole lot of jobs that happen in real life. So they'll go to the scene, they'll also interview suspects, they'll also be processing the evidence, doing the autopsies, making the arrests, and that is a whole lot of people here. Specifically, in Little Rock, we have a civilian crime scene unit, so the police officers are not processing the scenes in the extent that we would. Different jurisdictions, the officers are doing all of that, but here it's even more separate. And then at the lab, on TV, they might have one lab employee do your firearms and your DNA and things like that. It's going to be completely different sections. So the same person who is trying to get your DNA profile will not be test firing your gun.
And I think we have another caller on the line, Tyler from Conway. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, Tyler. What's your question for Megan?
If you're advising students who are interested in going into the field, what types of training or degree path or internship path should they look to take?
So we are looking for a 4-year degree, and most different places that does this will want that too, a 4-year degree in something science related. So chemistry, biology, forensic science, some criminal justice, if you get a little science in there. And a lot of the forensic science programs across the country will have internship programs in their curriculum already. But intern with a lab, a state lab, or any kind of lab like that, or a police department is also a really great experience.
Okay, so really make sure they focus on the chemistry and biology with their studies then.
Yes, hard science. A lot of colleges kind of want to dip their hand in a little bit of forensic science since it is so popular, but you want to find somewhere where you're getting that hard science background.
All right, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your question, Tyler. Our number, 569-8494, if you have a question for Megan about crime scene investigations. She is a crime scene specialist with the Little Rock Police Department, 569-8494, area code 501, 569-8494. So to follow up on Tyler's question, what about, you know, kids like elementary school, high school kids that are interested in this? Because I know they exist.
Yes, we have seen a lot of elementary teachers want us to come in and kind of tailor a demonstration to them. And I would definitely say that is the teachers and the parents reaching out to the departments and police departments to kind of see if they can get a demonstration or get information about that.
And can high school students intern somewhere?
They can shadow. Definitely. We've had numerous shadows from people who are interested in our job here, or I'm sure at the lab as well, or other police departments definitely can shadow us and do a ride along, et cetera.
Great. Mm-hmm. Courtney from Benton, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Courtney. What is your question?
I was wondering, since they don't really talk about this in regular crime dramas, if the difference between how hot and humid it is down here with all the animals and et cetera, if it really makes a difference in how they teach you in classes and what the decomposition is like difference-wise.
Sure. I don't really think they would teach us differently. We still have to learn about the differences between a more recent death versus a decomposing body. I would say it definitely does make a difference, though, with the heat. There are a lot of factors to decomposition. Let me start there. But the heat and temperature does make a huge difference. And here, it doesn't take nearly as long as somewhere else for the body to start that decomposition process.
Very interesting. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Courtney. And also with if you have bodies that drown, that's a whole different decomposition process and timeline as well, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. Yes. And we aren't necessarily the ones who find that out, but we just have to be prepared to deal with that and know generally what that means, I should say.
So what sorts of things at a crime scene would contribute to either your success in solving a crime or the speed with which you solve a crime? Are there some crimes that are easier to solve than others, or certain factors that make that so?
I don't know if there's a specific one that is easier per se, but video is a huge thing, and it's more common for even just neighborhoods to have videos outside of their houses or in their neighborhoods and things like that. That definitely helps. Even just seeing a car color or, you know, license plate or anything like that, that's huge. Fingerprint technology is always changing and always evolving, and that is one of our bare bones. We always try and define fingerprints. That's in our department, it's a little bit faster since the crime scene unit has our own latent print examiners. Our fingerprints don't have to go off to the lab. So, you know, that's going to help us faster because we have our in-house latent print examiners doing that. So I would say that.
David from Little Rock, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, David. What's your question?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I was curious. I'm studying digital forensics at UALR, and I was curious on how a student would go about getting an internship in the digital realm of forensics with, like, maybe the State Crime Lab or the Little Rock Police.
Unfortunately, I don't think I have enough information for you. I do know that the Little Rock department doesn't have our own computer forensics or digital forensics. We would send anything to the laboratory, and I don't have any contacts there, but I wish you good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
Thanks for your call, David. Our number, 569-8494, area code 501-569-8494. You are listening to Science Cafe in this lovely month of May, and I am talking to Megan Buckert. She is with the Little Rock Police Department. She is a crime scene specialist. So you mentioned evolving technology with fingerprints, and that has improved, you know, recent years or in the time that you've been working crime scenes. What are some other areas of technology that you've really seen sort of take off and be huge advantages in what you do?
Definitely DNA is definitely huge. Obviously, we know that, or I assume that a lot of people know that a lot of cases have been solved because of that technology, and that has quickly evolved from just being able to tell your blood type to being able to get your DNA from a quarter-sized blood stain, and now you can get it with very minuscule amounts of blood or biological fluid.
Mm-hmm. It looks like we have a caller on the line who has a great follow-up question. Dennis from Hot Springs Village, what is your question for Megan?
Yes, I always see on the crime shows that, you know, number one, they have the DNA the next morning, and I'm thinking, wow, how do they do that? And then the other part is, it must be at some point, there has to be a cost consideration where you're like, we can do that, but it's so expensive. I mean, what are the real-world limitations there?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So, we just had a meeting with the crime lab and are up-to-date, and I hope that I'm telling the most up-to-date time, but if a high-priority crimes against person, the DNA turnaround would be between 2 weeks and a month to get the profile back, and a rush job would be still between 1 to 2 weeks. And that is still, you have to kind of tell them your priority. So you have to know that this would, you know, very likely have your unknown person on there. But otherwise, any other time besides when you're rushing, you have to prioritize your evidence. So if we take several DNA swabs, we work with the detectives, and they still have to prioritize that. And it is up to the lab to decide the most cost-effective way to do that, the most probative evidence, so where a suspect really shouldn't be, you know, things like that. And then if that doesn't work, then they go to their next priority. And it is very expensive. I don't have numbers, but I do know that it is very expensive.
Wow, thank you so much. Do you have any comments you want to add about the ancestry.com/online databases, how they combine to find the Green River Killer, not the Green River Killer, but the ex-police officer in the Northwest?
I think that it's controversial. I definitely think it is. I think it could be a really neat tool, but, you know, people's privacy needs to get taken into consideration, so it'll be interesting to see what courts say about that.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So to follow up on that DNA conversation a little bit more, is DNA evidence, is that the gold standard, non-refutable piece of evidence that totally wraps up a case whenever you get it?
You would think so. You would think so. And a lot of people, the CSI effect, what we're talking about, how TV affects people, it makes them think that it is. And sometimes it isn't. You know, the DNA analysts can quantitate it, the percentages of there being another profile out there. And, you know, they're not going to over-exaggerate that, and it's up to them to explain it. And of course, they'll be in their realm. But a lot of people will put a lot more weight on that. Although DNA is really great. It is what it is. It's just... they will put a lot of weight on that when they need to really listen to what they're saying about how important that specific profile is. Yes.
And all the other pieces of data in the case, I would guess.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It shouldn't just be focused on DNA. Also people believe that DNA is everywhere too. You know, like they think that every case, every crime scene that you go to, you're going to find DNA, and that's also just not the case. So jurors and civilians who are working at their houses are thinking that we're going to find DNA everywhere, and that's just not the case.
Like, is 50% of cases, or do you have any guess?
I would say less than that, okay. But I'm not 100% sure.
Right. Chris is another caller on the line. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling in. What's your question?
Thanks. Yes, I was just curious, like, what is your personal, I guess, favorite, piece of high-tech equipment that you get to use, or maybe, like, the coolest thing you get to do at your job? On a regular basis?
That's a hard question, but honestly, we don't have a lot of the newest mm-hmm. and greatest equipment, but I think what we got to have a demo for recently was a program that is a 3D scanner. So mm-hmm. a lot of our cases, we're diagramming, and currently we're, you know, hand measuring or digital measuring every section of wall, every window, every door. And there's a handheld, it just fits right in your hand, and you can scan a room and under 15 minutes and you'll get a 3D image of that and everything in the room, and you can get those measurements later. And I think that's really useful. Could be
that
really
is really
useful.
Cool.
It is really cool.
I really appreciate that, because I'm a teacher, and mm-hmm. We're really big into science fair and engineering at our school. So I definitely love to share the information I get from experts like you. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
Our number, 569-8494. Probably have time for about one more question. 501's the area code, 569-8494. Talking with Megan Buckert, Little Rock Police Department crime scene specialist. So this is my question about the CSI effect. So a lot of times on the TV shows, they will stage a crime scene again when they can't figure something out. Do you guys go, they'll like do a pretend crime scene and walk the perimeter. Do you all go to those lengths for crime scenes on a regular basis or ever?
You know what? We don't. It's called reconstruction, so it's where you would recreate the crime. We don't into that extent. We definitely don't take the time or effort to completely recreate it. But there's different aspects of the job that does. Blood stain pattern analysis, using those measurements that we take and the pictures we take, you can reconstruct and you can put back on the wall the actual stain to revisit it and redocument it if you needed to. And then also bullet trajectory analysis, you could, with the numbers there, kind of recreate that if you have the ability.
So what all can you learn from bloodstain pattern, for example? I know when I was preparing for this, there's a lot more you could learn from it than I would have thought.
Yeah, so you do need additional training on that. So
it's kind of like a specialty within
a little
crime
bit.
Scene.
Definitely a little bit. There's a couple extra classes that you should take as ethics to be able to testify and that kind of thing. But you can, I say can, meaning if perfect conditions are there, you can tell the body positioning, different body positionings, possible suspect positionings, how and where different injuries happened in the house and on the body. Sequencing is a huge one. It would be great if you could find a bloodstain pattern that could tell sequency. Sometimes it's rare, you know, because of a really dynamic scene, but it's really neat when you can see the differences there. And directionality, that's a common one. That's a basic one where you should be able to tell in most cases the directionality of the stain and where that's going. And then the biggest part, ultimate, is to support or refute statements would be the best case scenario to be able to do with that kind of thing.
All right, we have our last caller on the line, Stephen Bryant. What is your question real quick for Megan?
Yeah, good afternoon. Just curious, in reality, how many of your like violent felony crimes go unsolved?
She's thinking. She's being very thoughtful.
I can't give an exact number. I do know that there is something that we did a bunch of research on that a nonprofit person put together, and you can go on and look at different homicide solve rates. And I know that from the 90s on, it's been about 80%
that are unsolved.
Unsolved, yes. Or across the nation, and it's declined from the 80s a little bit, and it's plateaued. I can't necessarily say that's for here for Little Rock, but that's about what that is.
All right, thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome.
Thank you. And for what you do, really quickly, what percentage of the crime scenes that you visit are violent crimes, like homicide type things?
The homicides are not a higher percentage, but I would say it's 50-50 as far as violent crimes versus property crimes. It's pretty even. Sometimes we'll have a whole bunch of property crimes, and then we'll have a whole bunch of violent crimes. So
depending on the moon and the time of year and the weather.
Definitely. Trust that affects it.
All right. Well, we have to wrap up here. Thank you so much for joining us for Science Cafe. Megan, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And if you missed it, this is Megan Buckert. She is with the Little Rock Police Department, a crime scene specialist. We are leaving the KUAR studios, heading up to Hibernia Irish Tavern over in West Little Rock, located at 9700 North Rodney Parham Road. And we will be there from 7 to 9 this evening. Megan will be joined by a couple of panelists, including Bob Lytle. He's an assistant professor in the Department of Criminal Justice at UALR. And Peyton Tucker, an agent with the FBI here in the Little Rock field office, continuing our discussion on crime scene investigation. So hop on up there, and we will have a lovely evening continuing this discussion. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Megan. And for 89.1 KUAR and Science Cafe, I'm Dorothy Graves.